Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. I'm very pleased to have as my guest today, Scott Wolven. We'll be discussing his book, Controlled Burn, and we'll also be discussing his short stories, which have appeared in the Best American Mystery Stories for 4 years running now. So first of all, Scott, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Casey. I really appreciate it.
Scott, I first started reading your stories in the Best American Mystery Stories collection, and you've been in 4 years in a row now. And I'm imagining that probably Otto Penzler was one of the people that originally discovered your work. And tell us a little bit, if you would, about how you first got in Best American Mystery Stories and your relationship with Otto as it's evolved.
Oh, sure. Let's see. Well, that's true. Otto was the first person ever to pay me for one of my stories. And I owe a great debt to him. He and his reader assistant, Michelle Sloan, picked one of my stories up out of an e-zine called Plots with Guns, and which had also run at the same time in another e-zine called Handheld Crime. And so they got a hold of me and said that that it had been selected to appear in Best American Mystery Stories. James Elroy was the editor that year, and I really couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been something that I've been very fortunate to be affiliated with ever since. It's a great thrill to me to be there. Otto and I have had some fantastic conversations about fiction and writing, and he's been extraordinarily helpful to me, as has Michelle Sloan.
Good. And this year's collection, of which you have a story, Barracuda, the editor was Joyce Carol Oates, so that must have been a thrill as well to have Joyce Carol Oates select one of your stories, because in the introduction, Otto explains that Joyce Carol Oates took a little bit of a different approach this year when she was selecting her story. She was very hands-on with the selections.
It was a real thrill, and I've got to tell you that I couldn't believe it. You know, to be in 4 years in a row and to be selected by Joyce Carol is a big honor. So I dropped her a note and said thank you very much, and she promptly wrote back. It's very generous, and it was really nice. You know, I found that I think universally with all the writers that I've been affiliated with and things, that they've just been very nice, genuine people, and it was no different with her, and so I have really high regard for her and her writing. It was very nice.
Excellent. Okay, now let's talk about Controlled Burn, which was published by Scribner's this year in 2005. And it's a very gripping collection of stories. And a friend of mine, Jim Allen in Indianapolis, called me after he read it. And he said, because he knows that I like short stories, and he said, I've got a writer here, Scott Wolven, that you've got to read. And I went out and got the book. And I was very taken with the stories, and they're very different. And you have a very, I think, distinctive voice. And so if you would, Scott, tell the listeners a little bit about Controlled Burn, the genesis of it. And we've mentioned that some of the stories appeared in Best American Mystery Stories, but how did the rest of the book develop for you?
The stories, two of the stories that are in the book, The Copper Kings and also Underdogs, began sort of as stories that had similar characters in them. Some of the other stories I wrote sort of in and around to fill some pieces out, but mostly I wanted to keep kind of a thread going through the book and let you feel as if, let the reader feel as if, you know, that they could get to know these characters in these situations in an interconnected kind of way, maybe not as deeply as you might in a novel, but maybe more so. It's hard to say. I like the feel of it as it went along, and it seemed to develop pretty much on its own.
Mm-hmm. And you divided the book up into two parts. The first is the Northeast Kingdom, and the second is the Fugitive West. And one of the stories in the Northeast Kingdom is called El Rey, And one of the characters, Tom Kennedy, I found to be just a very gripping character. And tell us a bit, if you would, about El Rey.
Sure. El Rey takes place in and around a logging camp up in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. And there are some Hispanic fighters training, and they're coming south from Canada, headed back to New York City, and there are some fellows working at the logging camp in St. Jay, and they decide to have a match, to have a sparring match. And Tom Kennedy lives in St. Jay, and he's a longtime resident, lived there his whole life. And so they go get him. At first it appears that maybe the narrator is going to have the opportunity to fight. And there's been some tragedy there with the narrator's best buddy, who lived in town and then apparently committed suicide. But that turns out also not to be the case. And Tom Kennedy comes on the scene, and he is a mean local guy who is, I suppose, just always going to be there. Hopefully, as you read through the story, it kind of makes you wonder about him and other things that he's done or things that he might be capable of doing. But it also, in some way, I think, makes you wonder about, you know, local friendships like that and things. Mm-hmm. It's, I like Tom Kennedy, too. Maybe like isn't the right word, but he's there, and I hope that I've represented them correctly in the fiction.
Yeah, I think you did, because I think the readers that read Control Burn, they're going to know. When you read about Tom Kennedy, we all know somebody like Tom Kennedy that lives in the community that we grew up in, and he's very, very well drawn. And then also in the Northeast Kingdom, you have a character, Red Green, who's very memorable in a story called Crank. And I probably learned more about crystal meth reading that story. And it's a very topical thing these days because it's kind of sweeping across the country now. And I'm kind of wondering, Scott, when you wrote that story, and kind of your take on it now in light of everything that's going on?
Well, you know, there's definitely some dark humor at times with Red Green. It's mostly sort of generated by him and his conversation, but there certainly is nothing amusing about the crystal meth problem that's going on in the country. You know, it seems like it's in the papers every day, and it is a terrible epidemic. I guess my hope would be always first to write a good story, and I had a character there that I was able to write about and put in different situations in Red Green, and I felt that I was able to, you know, write a good story sort of around him, and it enabled me to be able to do things with him that I wanted to do. If there was anybody, you know, ever anybody who read the story and felt that it made him reflect on the problems that were going on today, then I'm pretty lucky to have written a story like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an amazing character. Scott, part two of Controlled Burn is called The Fugitive West, and it starts off with a short story called The Rooming House. And I just like to say that I've read a lot of short stories, and I would say it's probably one of the best stories about alcoholism that I've ever read, and the structure is very interesting. And the only thing when I read it, one of the first things that popped into my head was Where I'm Calling From with Raymond Carver, just how it just captures the essence of alcoholism. And tell us a little bit, if you would, about the structure of that story, because it starts out from the point of view of a 12-year-old boy, and he observes something going on in his neighborhood, and then he has a scene with his grandfather, and then eventually it goes back to his own life. And it's a very moving story. So if you would tell us a little bit about the construction, about the rooming house.
Sure. I suppose, you know, it's tough to talk about the stories in a way that somehow doesn't involve the story.
Yeah.
The fellow there, the narrator, is, I guess, in his own way, trying to explain some things, or at least beginning point to point to as, well, you know, X started here, or the problems started here. And I think that he finds that perhaps impossible to do, but maybe he has, he feels in his own head that he's reached some sort of, you know, construct, or constructed a story for himself that appears to have some explanation buried within it. Whether that's true or not, you know, in the story sense, I couldn't tell you. I think different people get different things out of it, and that's good. The story kind of moves along, and he's, in some odd way, you know, the story is perhaps, you know, it imitates a circle, but it's not really a circle. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It appears to go around, but hopefully I've just written it to look that way. If you look at it from the outside, it's tough to call the things that he's saying an explanation. And if you feel for the narrator, I guess you just wish that better times would fall on him, but you kind of doubt that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Scott, was that story, when you, as you were writing drafts of it, was that a longer story that worked itself down to the way you finally were satisfied with it?
There were parts of that story that sort of made their way in and out of it. But I think that the main thing that I was hoping for there is, it's a story that's it was short on clarity, and hopefully I added some of that by removing some things that were you know, not quite as necessary as some other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then another story in part two, The Fugitive West, that I was particularly taken with was The Copper Kings. And one of the things I think that struck me about The Copper Kings, and also the entire collection, is it really, you get a look at a sector of the world that people that are willing to do things for, you know, for a couple $100 that might on the surface be, people wouldn't believe that somebody would do that. But when you read The Copper Kings and the other stories, you realize that there's a segment of society that's right on the margin that, you know, a couple $100 is a very important thing, isn't it?
Sure it is. You know, those guys are out in the Idaho panhandle, and I think that, you know, I lived out in Idaho for a while, and I think that the thing that always strikes me is that, you know, in writing that I wanted to write about things that had some level of at least fictional honesty, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's guys that'll go and do things for $500 or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough to earn a living, and when the opportunity presents itself, you know, that's a tank of gas and half a month's rent, or maybe a month's rent, and you better get working, no matter sort of what the task is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Scott, you had Barracuda appeared in Plots with Guns, which was a wonderful website, and I understand that Dennis McMillan was there. There is a book that is out. Is that correct now? Which contains some of the stories that appeared on the website.
That's right. Anthony Neal Smith and got together with Dennis McMillan, and I think those guys had that book out, the Plots with Guns anthology. They had that out for BoucherCon this year, and I think they're doing pretty well with it. It's a real strong book, as were, you know, a vast majority of the stories that appeared in that website. I found Anthony Neal Smith not only to be a very fine writer, he's got, I think, two books out right now, Psychosomatic and The Drummer, but also to be a very fine editor and a good friend to writers. Anthony had actually asked me to be in the Dennis McMillan anthology, and unfortunately I failed to meet the deadline, but that's an excellent book, and Dennis McMillan has a real good thing going on
Scott, you thus far you've been your publications have been short stories. How do you find the market for short stories now with the internet and with quarterlies and monthlies and this kind of thing? What's the market like right now for short story writers that write short stories like you do? Has the internet been a helpful thing, do you think, overall?
It's been very helpful to me. I think most of those stories would probably be sitting in a drawer somewhere, would not have been written without, you know, e-zines like Plots with Guns. I just had some correspondence the other day. I'm going to send a story into a new publication that's coming out called Murderland. Certainly Crime Spree. I had some contact with the editor there, Jennifer Jordan, and also with a Plots with Guns sort of tribute anthology that's coming out. People would be, I think folks that write stories that are similar to mine would be sort of lost without publications like that. I know that Crime Spree is widely read and is a fine publication, and it is very helpful to folks that write stories like mine.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found interesting in your comments in The Best American Mystery Stories of 2005 was you dedicate the story to your brother Will, who you say is a great brother and a fantastic artist who draws pictures that inspire my fiction. And I was wondering, that really caught my attention. I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about that process.
Oh, absolutely. Will's my brother, and he's a terrific guy. I think that probably, you know, for example, he's taken some of the stories out of Controlled Burn and started to do sort of a graphic novel out of it. And some of the stories and you know, his pictures tell a story. The stuff that he draws is extremely vivid. He's a really amazing artist, self-taught, and always in looking at his pictures and in looking at things that he's working on, it generally, you know, inspires me to, you know, to write a better story, to try to jump that bar, so to speak. He's a great artist.
That's great. And in Controlled Burn, one of the things that struck me was I usually, when I look at a book, I do take a look at some of the blurbs. I usually don't pay that much attention to them. But Richard Ford said, Wolven has turned raw, unreconciled life into startling, evocative, and very good short stories. He draws on a New England different from Updike's and even Debuse's, but his fiction lives no less than theirs, render the world newly and full of important consequence. And I thought it was very interesting to Updike and Debuse, who have written so eloquently about New England, to have Richard Ford say that really is quite a compliment. And I really think it does make sense, because I think that particularly the first part of Controlled Burn, the Northeast Kingdom, really does capture the Northeast in a way that is very singular.
Yeah, I was very lucky. Richard Ford was very generous. And I actually had some correspondence with him too. He's a very generous man, and I, you know, geez, I don't know. I don't believe your own press, I guess. It was very nice to hear him say that. Absolutely, and you know, I feel that I guess up there, you know, if you're in Vermont and you decide to ride up into the Northeast Kingdom, especially east toward New Hampshire, those folks up there have a tough life sometimes. They have a good life, some of them, but it's difficult sometimes to earn a living up there.
Mm-hmm.
The weather is tough, and things can be difficult. It's not always an easy place to live.
Yeah. Now, Scott, what's next for you? What are you working on these days?
Well, I've got a couple of short stories on the back burner, as I always do, and I guess I'm poking around with a novel. It should be done here in a month or two, and hopefully I can bring that to press. It's tough to I work full time, and very lucky to got a good job, so I devote the time to it that I can. I wish it was more, but you know, I do what I can.
Mm-hmm. Now, the novel, I always hate, whenever someone writes short stories as well as you do, I always hate to ask about a novel, because I was friends with Andre Debuse, and that was always a pet peeve of his. Are you pleased with the novel? Is this something? Is this a form that is kind of, you know, I assume it's probably something you've been working on for a while. And how pleased are you with the novel the way it is right now?
I'm very happy with it. I'll go out on a limb, and it's much more difficult to write a good short story than it is to write a novel.
Really?
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say that, but I said it. So. And I'll stick to it. It's much more difficult to write a good short story.
Okay. Well, Scott, I want to thank you very much for your time today, and I'd like to ask you when the novel comes out, I'd like to have you back on the show, and we can talk about that, because I think that for the listeners out there, you should go out and get a copy of Controlled Burn, because it's very rare that I pick up a collection of stories and I'm just immediately drawn to it, and when I finished it, left it on my reading table to say I'm going to wait a couple weeks and I'm going to read this thing again, which I did. So congratulations on Controlled Burn, and best of luck going forward here.
Casey, thanks so much for having me on. Great luck with your show.
Thank you.